This is Phil Davidson, and with me today is Rockford Symphony Orchestra guest conductor Kevin Stites. I don't know whether we should call you guest conductor or not, because you are no stranger to RSO. You've conducted many great performances in the past, but we are discussing today a perennial favorite, Holiday Pops, which, by the way, is brought to us by Midland Wealth Management. And Holiday Pops this year returns to two performance options. On Saturday, December 21st at 7:30 p.m., and then on Sunday, the following day, December 22nd at 3 p.m. And, of course, they're both at the Coronado Performing Arts Center. And I got to tell you, this has always been a personal favorite of mine. My family started attending the Holiday Pops in the early 1980s, and with one or two exceptions, been coming ever since. It is a genuine holiday tradition for all of us. So, what inspired RSO to go back to the two performances?
Well, since COVID, it's been tough to get audiences back into the theater or the concert hall. But last year, we were completely sold out. Not a seat available. Parents of kids in the choir couldn't get a ticket for their spouse, you know. So it only seemed right to return to the two performance format. And for me, it makes so much more sense. It's, first of all, the proximity of it to Christmas this year, because it's so close. What a great start for Christmas week. By the 21st, you should have mostly all your craziness over with, and you could just maybe go to a concert and enjoy it. But even more so, having a Sunday matinee, 3 o'clock, no more than 2 hours, great for kids. Great to go do something after that matinee. Go to Sinisippi Gardens and see those fantastic lights, or the light show at Anderson Japanese Gardens. I mean, it's a perfect, I think, beginning to Christmas week. But the good thing is it came from, we sold out and you couldn't get a seat last year.
I do so. Remember that.
Yeah.
Yes, it was great to see. Well, I'm going to ask, I think I asked this question last year, but it's still very appropriate. There are so much great Christmas and holiday music out there to choose from. So how and why did you choose the selections that are going to be performed this year?
Best question of the year, because there are thousands of Christmas songs. And I did spend 6 seasons at Radio City Music Hall doing the Christmas Spectacular, so I've certainly been exposed to, 90 minutes of Christmas. It was, for me, I wanted to combine entertaining things that the audience will know, love, and appreciate it, and then combine it with a little more near the end of the concert of the message that Christmas is all about, whether you be Christian, Jewish, Muslim, whatever. The peace on earth, goodwill toward men aspect of it. We are doing a concerted version of We Three Kings this year, the orchestra, and it's quite a piece. It's cinematic in nature, and it's like a modern classical composition, because I wanted to have a moment in the concert that becomes serious in a good way and focuses just on the music and on the orchestra. And I'm tried to combine so many different styles. That was the goal.
Well, great. Well, and then, of course, the Nielsen Chorale will once again be joining you. But then there are several other special guests and choirs, and I don't know, but can you reveal some of them to us, or do you want to keep some of them as a surprise?
Well, okay. Last year, the Santa and Mrs. Claus were a surprise.
Yes.
But those crazy kids are coming back.
Oh, good.
They came back to the July 3rd spectacular. Uh-huh. They had the dates wrong. They thought they were coming to Holiday Pops, and they showed up in July. So they're back as scheduled, and they're going to act sort of as host and MC. I will talk very little. And then there is a special surprise conductor, perhaps.
All right.
For Sleigh Ride, which I know we'll probably discuss. And it's no secret, but His Honor the Mayor is going to join us on Sunday for a surprise little bit. It's not a surprise that he's going to be there, but what he's going to do is special. So there, you know, if you like the concert on Saturday night, come on Sunday because it'll be different.
Great. Well, and I think the Canterai are going to be part of it.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, they've got great directors, Jessica Koenig and Addison Youngblood. And Phil, from last year, I think it was maybe 12 singers. Mm-hmm. This year, they're over 30.
Wow.
So that program is rebuilding. And then we're also going to be joined by RPS, which I'm told is Rockford Public Schools, mm-hmm. 205 Elementary Choir. Brad Kolak is conducting that. And that's over 30, also fourth and fifth graders.
Oh, that'd be
Nothing
wonderful.
Says Christmas to me like having some children involved. And I should note that the Nielsen Chorale is conducted by the esteemed and formidable Marty Bine.
Yes.
And this is her last year with the chorale.
Oh.
So this is her last Holiday Pops. She's retiring. So it's going to be at one point over 200 people on stage.
Wonderful. Well, let's talk about some of the highlights now. I don't think you could have a Holiday Pops without Joy to the World. I read up on it a little bit. I know that it's an English Christmas carol written in 1719 by Isaac Watts, but I read the following statement. The carol is usually sung to the American composer Lowell Mason's 1848 arrangement of a tune attributed to Handel. So that's a lot of people involved there. Can you shed some light on this?
Well, it's fascinating. I had to look some of this stuff up, and I researched a couple different places because we can't always trust the Wikipedia. And correct, Isaac Watts in 1719 paraphrased Psalm 98 and as a written piece, mm-hmm. not with music. Then someone, and it's not attributed to any one person that I could see, took clips of music from George Frederick Handel's Messiah.
Oh, I see.
Which is fascinating to me. Watts and Handel did not collaborate, even though they were somewhat contemporaries. The tune was pieced together by others from portions of the Messiah. The opening bars of Lift Up Your Hearts from the Messiah was adopted to Joy to the World. And an instrumental portion of the tenor aria, Comfort Ye, provides the music for the text, And Heaven and Nature Sing. Mm. It's pretty interesting. Okay, so that happened. Then the third collaborator over in America, Boston, as you mentioned, Boston music educator Lowell Mason, published his own arrangement of Handel's melodic fragments, and he called the tune Antioch, like Antioch, Illinois, for whatever reason. And it's of note that Mason did an early American treatment of the melody, this was new to me, called a fuguing tune.
Hmm.
And a fuguing tune was actually created, that concept, by William Billings, the great Revolutionary War sort of era American composer. It is not really call and response, but it's and heaven and nature, and heaven and nature, and heaven and nature, and heaven, and how usually the sopranos and altos and then are answered by the basses and tenors. Repeat the sounding joy, wonders of his love, back and forth. That was by Mason. So musical fragments composed in England, pieced together in the United States, text originally by a third person in England. So it's a combo platter of three people. I never thought about it.
Well, that sheds a lot of light on that, because when I read that statement, I thought, now, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Right. Well, and to your point about it being so popular, it is the most published Christmas hymn in the United States. And the figure I saw was it's in over 1,387 hymnals, which is amazing when you think about it, in the form we know it, basically.
Right.
Slight adjustments to the text, but with the tune that the three, you know, between Handel and Mason put together. Interestingly enough, Hark the Herald Angels Sing is the second most published Christmas song and any hymnal. And we are doing a giant, for all intents and purposes, finale of the concert is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We're starting with Joy to the World, and we're basically ending with Hark the Herald. Mm. So we're number one and two on the hymnal charts.
That's great. So another favorite that you're going to be featuring is Greensleeves, or as we know it, for a lot of people know it now, What Child Is This? Can you shed some light on the origin of this piece and how it came to be a popular Christmas carol?
Well, it was a traditional English folk song from around 1580. The original lyrics were about a sexually promiscuous lady.
Oh, my goodness.
Some think, depending which set of words you look at, she may or may not have been a woman who gets paid for her services. But it definitely, Lady Greensleeves was not the text that we're used to it. It also is interestingly attributed to Henry VIII, that he wrote the tune. And I actually thought for years that was true. That is not true. The composition is in an Italian style that did not reach, the style of composition didn't even reach England until after Henry VIII died. Christmas. It became associated with Christmas around the tune of 1686 was set to the lyrics, What Child Is This, in 1865, some 200, almost 200 years later, by somebody named William Chatterton Dix, who I've never heard of. But by the 19th century, it was in every published collection of Christmas carols. And we are using it. Again, it's a beautiful arrangement that will follow the We Three Kings sort of serious orchestra piece. And our arrangement features our principal cellist and our concert mistress. And there will be biblical text read over it. Because in our mind, we hear What Child Is This. Mm-hmm. We don't know and think of the original song itself that is perhaps not related to the Christ child in any way.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Well, it's the most wonderful time of the year. I have to say that because it really is.
Yep.
But of course we know it as the title of a very popular holiday song that's been performed by a bazillion singers, but is especially associated with Andy Williams. So can you give us an idea of what RSL is going to do with this piece?
It's one of my favorite Christmas songs, actually. Johnny Mathis does one, too, and they both feature a screaming trumpet lick that is like outrageously great. We're actually going to have Encora, which is an a cappella group from the Nielsen Chorale, do it. And it's they're the section leaders. They auditioned to be section leaders in the chorale, and then they are featured. Last year, they did a couple of unaccompanied songs. This year, they're going to do this. And it's more in the a cappella style of today. Think Pentatonics or Manhattan Transfer without a band. And it's a really fresh, fun arrangement without the orchestra. And that's on purpose. Cantarai is also going to sing Luli Lule, which is a medieval, beautiful Coventry carol, a cappella. I think it's nice in these concerts to cleanse the palate. Don't have the orchestra, the full orchestra, playing the whole time. And so those special moments of unaccompanied vocal really have a resonance. And then when you follow it and that orchestra comes in afterwards, it's magical.
Sounds great. Well, obviously, anybody that's attended Holiday Pops over the last few years, more than a lot of years, you know you're going to hear Leroy Anderson's Sleigh Ride. In fact, I'd be really disappointed if I didn't hear that whip cracking. What can you tell us about Leroy Anderson? I think we've talked about him before, but let's kind of go back and talk to him a little bit about him one more, and any other well-known compositions that he's created.
Well, he's a Boston boy, which I was not quite aware of. and but born in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and he studied at the New England Conservatory of Music. I'm going to hear a concert there in a week in Jordan Hall, which I'm sure he performed in. Florence Price, the famous composer, performed there as well. And then he went to Harvard and studied with Walter Piston. So he was a classically trained musician, composer, who did his own arrangements for sort of a pop dance band. And his charts became known by Arthur Fiedler, who was in charge of the Boston Pops. And Arthur Fiedler encouraged him, commissioned him to write pieces for the Boston Pops. And that's and he's known as a master of light orchestral music, mm-hmm. American music. John Williams, actually a quote, one of the great American masters of light orchestral music. We also are doing a John Williams piece. Can't have a concert without one of those. But pieces that, in addition to Sleigh Ride, which is perhaps Leroy Anderson's most known, Fiddle Faddle, The Syncopated Clock, which oh, yes. became the theme of a TV show back in the 50s, The Typewriter, which Maestro Yaniv conducted with the RSO, and then he arranged a lot of great, great pieces, but one that really stands out is A Christmas Festival Overture, which is the RSO has performed several times. It's in the library here. I've debated on using it. It'll probably make a return next year because it's very popular and very famous.
Well, can you give us a rundown of some of the other pieces that we're going to hear? And I'm going to put the next question in with that, and how the choirs are going to be involved in all of these pieces.
Joy to the World, as you mentioned, will open the concert, a fantastic arrangement that actually the Boston Pops, who nobody does Christmas like the Boston No. Pops, you know. The Nielsen Chorale and the orchestra will do that together. Santa Claus is Coming to Town, the Nielsen Chorale and a jazz ensemble. We've got a beautiful Hanukkah piece called 8 Days of Light. Nielsen Chorale will also do. As I mentioned, Luli Lula Lule, Contrari. We're doing a lovely song from a movie called The Polar Express that the RPS 205 Elementary Choir and Contrari are going to sing with the orchestra. And we're going to end the first half with a song not so subtly titled Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas from Home Alone 2 by John Williams with the Nielsen Chorale and all of the young adults choirs. So that'll be one of the 200 performer moments. We need a little Christmas from MAME, Sleigh Ride. It's the most wonderful time of the year, as we discussed. This great We Three Kings Fantasia for the orchestra, the Green Sleeves for violin, cello, and orchestra. And then the sort of official end of the concert will be a terrific arrangement of Hark the Herald Angels Sing that we did last year that features the theater organ as well as the orchestra. And this year I'm adding both children's choirs and the chorale. So it'll be the organ, orchestra, 201 performers for that. And then at the very, very, very end, after some thank yous, I'm going to ask everybody else to work too. And we're going to do a little holiday sing-along.
Oh, yes. Got to do that. And those sing-along songs, I assume, will be very familiar pieces.
They're secular, sacred. It's a real nice medley, which sometimes they can be a little corny, but this is a fun one. Deck the Halls, Jingle Bells, Oh Come All Ye Faithful, Angels We Have Heard on High, A Lovely Silent Night. And then finally, We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Well, that's great. I got to tell you, anybody out there, you don't want to miss this holiday tradition, particularly this year, because it just sounds fabulous. So talk to your family, talk to your friends, come on out and attend RSO's Holiday Pops, which, as I said before, and we said, this year it returns to two performance options, which is Saturday, December 21st at 7:30 p.m., and then the matinee on the following Sunday, December 22nd at 3 p.m.
Best seats available at that matinee. There's some really good seats.
Great, great. And, of course, they're both at the beautiful Coronado Performing Arts Center. But for those tickets, too, and more information about these concerts, go to rockfordsymphony.com or you can call 815-965-0049. This is Phil Davidson.
And Kevin Stites, who's guest directing the Holiday Pops this year.
Thank you for listening.